10 years ago, Chrysler employees were grappling with a problem. They knew lead poses serious risks, especially to children, so they decided to try and remove the chemical from their painting process. Monica Prokopchin is with Daimler Chrysler.
The first thing they tried, what happens if you remove the lead? Well, what happened is you didn't have the corrosion protection.
And that meant cars without lead in the paint were quick to rust. So Chrysler then tried less toxic zinc compounds, but they presented different problems, clogging filters at plants.
So instead, the heavy metals were removed entirely, and the suppliers worked on improving the resin and changing the resin formulation so that the resin itself provided the corrosion protection you needed.
That did the trick. And thousands of tests and many years later, Chrysler is finally launching a lead-free painting process. Chrysler's struggle to voluntarily get rid of lead is a typical illustration of what car companies say they go through whenever they try to replace a material that can be damaging to the environment. Chrysler's Ross Good said what makes it difficult is that the new product must function as well as its predecessor, so the customer doesn't notice a difference.
The customer isn't going to care whether it's lead-free or chrome-free or those sort of things. What they want is a product that lasts a long time. So the challenge is to make these substitutions and make them completely transparent to the customer.
Other automakers agree. Kevin Weber is with Toyota. He says that developing substitutes is a time-consuming process, and automakers must ensure they're not trading one problem for another. Weber says Toyota is facing that dilemma right now in trying to find a substitute for mercury that's used in the company's high-intensity discharge headlamps.
The HID headlamps are much, much brighter than standard headlamps. And so the safety improvement for our drivers and our customers is quite a bit higher. And so we have to really consider that trade-off. Is the safety improvement much better than what could be the potential environmental impact of having that mercury vapor in that headlamp?
Weber says the headlamps contain only a tiny amount of mercury, so Toyota will continue to use it until it finds an alternative that's equally effective. Weber says that even if a substitute looks promising, it could take years of tests to ensure it's durable over time. That lengthy process troubles environmentalist Charles Griffith. He acknowledges that the search for substitutes isn't easy, but he's convinced automakers aren't always moving as quickly as they could.
Certainly, time is required to complete that process. However, we think there could be more done to actively research these alternatives and implement them as we learn of them.
Griffith points to the case of mercury used in automotive switches. While foreign car makers got rid of mercury in their switches in the early 1990s, domestic automakers still use it in some of their models.
Were they actively researching those alternatives to make sure that they were not harmful during that time? Well, no, not apparently not. Apparently, they just were taking their time in making the switch over.
One problem is that it's not just up to automakers to affect change. They depend on suppliers who provide most of the parts to car companies to assemble. Environmentalists say that car companies need to make the message clear to suppliers that developing environmentally safe substitutes should be a priority. At least one automotive supplier says that message is already coming through. Norm Cacarella is with Delphi Automotive.
In the last 5 years, auto manufacturers have been paying more attention to the environment. Each year, we get more and more directives from auto manufacturers to remove the substance of concern from the car and to reduce the weight and reduce the emission.
Those types of directives naturally accelerate the development and use of environmentally superior products, Cacarella says. For example, Delphi, anticipating General Motors' environmental demands, produced a substitute that will allow GM to swiftly eliminate certain PVC plastics that can hurt the environment.
We had developed the product technology in our manufacturing plants. At the same time, General Motors came out with a directive that they wanted to have PVC-free interiors by the year 2003. So it matched our willingness to adapt. That's why it went quicker.
But environmentalists say that not all auto suppliers are progressive on the environment, and they're pressing automakers to make sure that others follow suit in developing materials for future cars that won't continue to harm the environment. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Julie Halpert.